I'm excited today to tell you a little bit more about my story and my journey with my business. Would that be okay if we just do kind of some story time this afternoon? Okay, so take yourself back to your second grade years. We're going to do a story time. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the story of Western Heating, Air, and Plumbing. And this story starts back in 1995 with this gentleman right here, Rod Black. Rod Black was a true tradesman. He started a company. He grew it to about a little under a million, maybe about $700,000 a year is what he was doing in revenue. And his whole concept of his business was, I'm doing everything I do with integrity and trust. Because we all know there are a lot of shady contractors out there, right? People charge too much, they're dishonest, they don't come back, they don't pick up their phone. Contractors just basically have a bad rep. Any of you in here contractors or familiar with any of that? Okay, I see a few hands. And that is a really hard thing as a contractor to overcome, isn't it? Because people assume because you're in this line of work, you are automatically going to take advantage of them, and it's very difficult. I'm going to share a little bit more about how we overcame that in my next segment here. But something we loved about him was he had the same values we had, integrity, trust, and that was what made his business so appealing. So when my husband and I came back to Utah and we bought this business in 2007, we had no idea that 2008 was right around the corner and there would be a big recession. We didn't know that. This lucky guy, he sold his business at the right time, didn't he? He was really, really smart. So my husband Ryan and I, we bought the business in 2007. And because of the time frame, we had a home in California that we could not sell. I had my home in Fresno that I could not sell. And it actually sat there empty. We finally found people to rent it. It was very, very stressful. I remember driving back to Utah to buy this business, and I remember just the overwhelming feeling. Okay, I'm buying a business. I don't know how to run a business. I've got my three little kids. I don't have anywhere to live. I'm going to have to live with my mom for a little bit. It was just this weird part of life, but I knew it was the right choice. We felt really good about it. We'd prayed about it. We knew it was the right thing for us to do. So we found a little home to rent in Provo, Utah. It was right next to where the business was located. Rod lived in Orem, so maybe a five-minute drive. He'd been running the business out of his home. I went and trained and learned how to use QuickBooks in his bedroom with his wife, because that's where her office desk was set up. It was so awkward. But I'm sitting in the little bedroom learning how to use QuickBooks. Anyway, after a month of training, we felt comfortable starting the business. After 3 months in business, we bought it October 1st. So if you think about this, we just had our 30-year anniversary, October 1st of 2025. Western hit its 30 years in business. But at the end of the year, 2008, we had $50,000 in profit in 3 months. And we were so excited. After all the bills had been paid, we were like, this is awesome. This is great. I love this entrepreneurial life. This is so awesome. We ran the business from our rental home, 4 technicians, 4 trucks, and look at that beautiful truck. Isn't that gorgeous? What do you notice about that truck? What?
It's dirty.
It's dirty. That was the fanciest truck we had back then. It had the logo in full color. It was the white van, but back then everyone had white vans, right? I was living in a world of sea of white vans. If you had a white van, you could own a service company. Just put your logo on the side, right? So we knew we needed to do something to be different, to stand out, to grow our business. In 2009, we joined a best practice group, similar to this, but very industry-focused for heating air conditioning companies. And I started to learn about business. I learned about KPIs, I learned about business goals, I learned about how to price, I learned about marketing, I learned all the systems and strategies that I needed to do. But I was so far from that. We were so, so far from that. But I was so glad that I had this group because I started to learn. That is what I needed. My degree was in education, not in business. And so I started learning and growing, and my favorite thing was to go visit other companies' shops. How many of you have ever visited a shop or a company of someone that does a similar business as you? It is invaluable. What did you learn from some of those shop tours or visiting businesses?
Processes.
What else? How not to do it. The culture, whether it's good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. Same. We started visiting shops, and at the time, we were maybe a $1 million a year company. Maybe $1.5 million is what we were generating in revenue. And I would visit a shop that was doing $5 million, and I'd be like, whoa, now I can see the operations. Now I can see what it looks like to have a $5 million, a company that produces $5 million a year. And then I would go visit a $9 million a year company or a 10 or 12. And as I would visit these larger shops, then I could visualize it. I could see it. I could see what the org chart would look like, what the structure needed to look like, how the leadership had to change, the systems had to change. As you grow and change, your systems, your structures, your leadership, your organization has to grow and change with it. You cannot run a $5 million a year company the same way you run a $1 million a year company. So it's very, very important to get involved and get in circles with people who have different sizes of companies so that you can see and learn and grow from them and from what they're doing. In our efforts to stand out, and in my effort to start learning marketing, I said, well, we have this awesome name, Western. Let's start branding everything Western. We need to come up with our Western brand so that we stand out. Because I would have marketing people come in and they would say, well, what makes you different from all the other heating and air companies? And I'd say, well, we 24/7 service. And they're like, yeah, so does everyone else. Well, we stand behind our work, okay? Well, I couldn't think of something that truly made us different. So we had to really start thinking about what made our company different. I said, well, let's start a membership club. We decided to put Monument Valley, are any of you familiar with the iconic Monument Valley? Down southern Utah, kind of Four Corners area of the United States. That's the most Western iconic image I could think of. So we put that on all of our vans, and we came up with the Monument Club. As a symbol, a monument is something that stands for something amazing, right? And so I had all this was my initial attempt at marketing and branding for my company. What I noticed is that pretty soon I saw another van going down the road with the same Monument Valley on it. What? You're a printing company. Why do you have Monument Valley on your truck? You can't have that. And then I saw it somewhere else and I was like, I'm not standing out. I'm not separate. There's nothing about me that is making me unique or special. And that was really the goal. What can I do to be memorable and to stand out? I hired a business coach that was $2,000 a month. I remember it was a lot of money. I didn't know if I could afford him. And he helped us with some of those things that Steve was just talking about. He helped us figure out, what are your values? What are those values? Because this is where you need to focus. Like, stop worrying about putting a monument on your van, and you need to figure out who you are as a company. This is your character. You've got to start with a strong foundation. So we started doing that. We started working on the foundation of our business. And we came up with a list of 7 values. As we started working with those values, I introduced them to the team. They were like, okay, like, who cares? That's nice. Thanks for telling us about that. I'll tell you what not to do when you're introducing values to your team. Don't do it at a Christmas party. We've got all of our employees and their spouses at a really nice dinner, and I'm like, okay, now before we get to the presents and the prizes, I just want to tell you about our new company values. And I rule out the 7 values, and they're like, this one lady, the wife, she's like, so when can we get back to the party? So as you're rolling out values, as you're introducing these things to your team, think about the timing, the place, and how to do it. That was one thing I learned not to do. But we were very intentional. We started hiring more technicians. We started hiring salespeople. We started learning systems and processes. And our biggest value that we had was family. Family was what we were built on. We lived in a community that very much appreciates families, that honors families. And so we wanted to be the family-focused company that you could trust. Right? This was our vision. This was our goal. I started putting pictures of my family in all of my marketing, and people remembered that, and they recognized it, and they liked that. But then some things got a little creepy, and I had people reaching out to me about my daughters online. It was weird. So I had to be a little careful. You want to be careful about how much you truly expose your family to some of these things and know the audience. So I had to be a little bit careful about that. So even though family was still one of my focuses, focusing on treating my customers like family, treating our employees like family, I had to be careful about not putting pictures of my family in my marketing. Has anyone ever had a similar experience? Or good. I hope not. The next thing we started to do was focus on developing our systems, our processes from every part of the business. We needed to be consistent. Steve talks about being transparent with your numbers, being an open book policy. Hey, here are our numbers. This is what we did. We did the great game of business with our team. We asked them, help us, where do you think the money goes? And we played this game with them. And it's surprising how many of them had no idea where the money went. And no idea how much money goes to everything. They thought we were just making tons and tons of money. But what they didn't see and didn't realize was that every bit of profit we got, what did we do with it? That's right. We put it back into the business. We bought another van. We had probably at one point six or seven vans that I had personal loans on because trying to keep the business going, the cash flow, there's so much science and math to this game of business. And we had to learn all of that. But we also found that the more people we started to hire and bring into our business, they all had their own idea of, well, this is how I do a service call. This is how I install a furnace. This is how I do it. Everyone had different ideas of how they were going to do the work. And so we had to come together and say, nope, this is one way. This is the way we do it. This is the Western way. And we created a system for it called Certified Comfort Experts, where everyone on the team had to go through our certified training program to learn how to do a furnace tune-up, to do an air conditioning tune-up. The systems that we needed, the services we provided, everyone would do it the same way. And a big part of that is what I'm going to show you in the next little session on building trust and how to build trust with customers. Once we started having that consistency, we were now performing at a higher level. One of the things that helped us, really, now you can see the monuments there on the van, was we knew we needed to be part of the community. As a small company, I did not have a huge budget for marketing, so I had to figure out, how can I be memorable? How can I stand out in this community? What can I do? So we started wrapping vans. We had one pink van that was just for Susan G. Komen. I wanted something that we could give back to in the community. How many of you are teamed up with an organization or a company or something that you can give back to in your community? A couple of you? Now for me, I knew I wanted to do this, I just wasn't sure who. But I thought, well, this will be a good one because almost everybody has someone that they know that's gone through breast cancer. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. And so, you know, almost everybody can make a connection with this. So for this van, as we ran service calls out of this van, every single call that we did, we would put a portion of that back into Susan G. Komen and back into breast cancer research. And it was a really special thing. We were able to go and donate, go be there in person. And I loved it, but I didn't really feel super connected to it because, I mean, I knew a few people, but it wasn't something that had impacted me directly. What did impact me directly happened in 2016. I had a dear friend that I had gone to college with. We'd raised our families together. Her name's Emily. Emily had her fifth child, and after she had her fifth child, she struggled with postpartum depression. Extremely awful postpartum depression. And for a lot of women, they don't like to talk about it. It's an embarrassing thing for them. There's a stigma around it that's associated with it, that, oh, well, you should be able to fix this. Like, and women, we go into this, I don't know what to do, I can't help it, I don't know what's wrong with me. And it's like mental health, it's like having a broken bone. When we see someone in a cast, you know there's a broken bone, and of course you'd open the door for them or treat them differently, but with mental health, you can't see it. And my dear friend Emily was struggling with this horribly. But she didn't let a lot of people know. It got to the point where, because there were no postpartum health operations or doctors, or there's no facilities for them, she went from emergency room to doctor to emergency room and ended up finally in the mental hospital, in the state hospital, which was awful. To be in a state hospital with a lot of other very mentally ill convicts and other people. She immediately had to be weaned from her baby when she went there, and some of the things that happened there were awful. She came home and things seemed like they were better for a couple of days, and then a few days after that we lost her. It was a horrible accident. She, without going into too many details, she was with her dad. They were going to take her away and the baby away for a few days and see if it would help. And they pulled over on the side of the road. She was like having a panic attack. He pulled her off on the side of the road. She got out and got hit. It was awful. It shook my world. And I'll tell you, the thing that it did the most for me was this happened the end of February 2016. And I was at a point in my business where I was struggling to, like, I've got to get all the year-end things done. I've got taxes due March 15th for the business. You guys know how that is. And I was numb. I couldn't do anything. I felt so bad. I was, how do I help this family? How do I help my friend? But I was also grieving myself. And also realizing that this friend, my age, now was leaving a husband with 5 children, a brand new baby. And I did not know, I couldn't figure out what to do. Luckily, I was able to do a tax extension. Eventually, I got back into the business. But what saved me and helped me through that hard time was I got together with her husband and her 2 sisters that are on the left side of that picture. And we created an organization called the Emily Effect. And the Emily Effect is an organization to help moms who are struggling, to help them know that they can have a voice, that they're not alone, that there are other moms, and to give them a place to go for support and encouragement and comfort, because that is something that Emily didn't have. Her parents joined us, her other family, that's her brother and her sister. We all got together, and I asked Eric, her husband, I said, can I wrap one of my vans for Emily? And he said, yes, please do this. And that's what we did. We wrapped one of our vans for the Emily Effect. And then we debuted it in my city parade where we lived. And as we went down the road with our beautiful new van in her favorite color, this beautiful coral color. Wow, sorry. I think I get that emotional, but people stood up in the parade and just clapped as we drove by. And it wasn't for Western, it was for Emily. They were paying tribute to her. But what I vowed to do was to take a stand and use my business, my platform, as a way to help empower other mothers and to help other people know that they don't have to suffer alone. No one else should have to lose a mother, a daughter, a sister, an aunt, a cousin, a friend to postpartum, that there are resources, that there are people, and there is help. So I created pamphlets, and every single call my technicians went on, they would leave. They would leave a brochure behind. Here, if this is the Emily effect, if you know anyone that can help this can help us, please share with them. I went on news stations, I talked about this, and I was able to use my heating and air conditioning company as a platform for something way bigger than me, way bigger than heating and air conditioning. The beautiful thing about this is that I would have people show up to my company and say, hey, my wife told me I need to work here. Because of what you do, she struggles with this too, and she loves that you guys support this cause. And so I want to work for a company that supports that as well. This became part of our culture. This became part of our values, and this was something that I could stand behind, and I could help promote, and I could do so many things for. Now I have the Emily effect on every single van that goes down the road. People know about this. It's on our website. It's been 9 years since she's passed away. It'll be 10 years next February since she's passed away. And the funds that we've been able to raise through the Emily Effect, we've been able to open a center in our local community for women to go to. We've been able to do so many awesome things to help these moms who are struggling. And it's something that gave me the energy and the life to keep going and to do something bigger than myself, even when it was uncomfortable, even when I didn't know if I could go on. That was the point in my story yesterday when I decided I needed to go get a speaking coach and learn how to coach and train at a higher level, because I was still alive and I still had the ability to make an impact. And so she's a big part of why I'm here today, because of her impact in my life, and that's what the Emily effect is. It's her effect lives on and goes on for so long. But because I started doing these things and sharing about this experience on stages and in smaller groups, I earned the Service World Woman of the Year in 2016, which was huge. And again, that imposter syndrome came. Who am I to get an award like this? I just, you know, I'm doing what I think is right. But in business, when we do what is right, it comes back to us. Goes back to Zig's quote, right? What, who is it? The more people you help, somebody help me with this. You can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get in life what they want. Yes. I need to learn that quote better. So we started taking that to heart in our business. We needed to have a purpose bigger than us and our business. So we started our Gift of Heat program. This was actually right before Emily passed away. We did our very first one, and we said, you know, we do heating and air conditioning. How can we bless families with what we do? So we opened a contest in our community and said, hey, if you know anyone that could use a new furnace for whatever reason or another, they may be struggling financial, health-wise, like nominate them for our competition. We'd love to give someone a new furnace. And so we had several nominations come in. The sweet lady on the right, Janet Laycock, was our first winner. She'd just gone through breast cancer. She had been making quilts. She makes quilts for children in Africa. She's so cute. And she'd been warming hearts for so long, and so we were so excited to give her the first furnace. The next year, we had this family on the left here. We were able to help them, a dad out of work, trying to stay and keep things going for his family. Then we helped this cute little lady in the middle. And she had this 50-year-old wall unit that would only heat one room in her whole house. And when we awarded her, she came and she's like, why are you giving this to me? I'm totally fine. This thing still works great. Like, go give it to somebody else who needs it. And these cute little people have just impacted us, and we do this every single year. For years, this has been something. And I started paying $2,000 or $3,000 every year to get an ad on the radio, because I just felt like I wasn't getting enough applications. How do I get more people to apply for this? And when the radio station found out I'd been paying for this, they said, can we just be your partner and we'll take care of all the costs for it every year? I said, I would love that. So they gave us about $10,000 of free advertising every year to be our partner in this campaign, to go out and to find a family. And now we get hundreds of applications because they help me put the word out. And they come with us to the home. We've done it with them for about 7 or 8 years now. My employees fight over who gets to come with us to install the new furnace. But we show up, we give them gift baskets, and we surprise them with a new furnace. This is our winner from last year on the right. Sweet little lady, nominated by her granddaughter. She'd raised her granddaughter because her daughter had died, so she raised her granddaughter, and her granddaughter nominated her. Just these beautiful stories, and we're meeting the most amazing people as we go. My message to you from this is find a way to get involved in your community. And if you are in your community doing good, people will want to partner with you. And the business will come from it. For us, it was never about how can I go make money doing something like this. It was about, in fact, I was really scared to share any of this on social media. I said, I don't want to be like bragging about doing something good for someone. And I had people tell me like, Angie, you would be doing yourself and the community a disservice if you don't share it, because what that does is it inspires us and motivates us to go do something good too. So don't worry about self-promotion. Worry about inspiring others to go and use their business to do something great. This was huge for us. So as we continue to develop our business, I really wanted to develop my brand story. And I said, what makes us different? Do you recognize these two right there? They kind of look like the guy, me and my husband. And so I wanted something where I could promise this is who we are. And I worked on developing our company and our brand so that we could be recognizable, memorable, and uncopyable. So we made this video. I'm going to see if this works. Can you turn the volume up a little on it? Oh, it's not playing up there, is it? It's playing on this screen. Round of applause for Santiago coming to fix the screen.
Let's see if we can make it
work. I think we can make it work too.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. There we go. You just need somebody smarter than me to run the technical here. Okay.
Represented to me and her. those lessons learned. So from day one, we wanted to hire individuals that had those same ethics. And when we go out to our clients, that's the experience that we wanted to give them, that we were a company that was going to keep our work. We were going to do a great job for them and make sure that we took care of them. So, you know, we hand out these to all our clients on every single job that we go on. And I am just so grateful for, you know, the example that my mom and dad set for me, and they were able to build their whole home around the same thing.
Thank you. So we ended up finding a symbol that was uncopyable. None of our competitors could copy our story. We were both raised on farms, and we were looking for a way to stand out. And there was a company in Las Vegas, Phoenix, Arizona, called Gettle. Has anyone ever heard of Gettle? Gettle is a heating and air conditioning company, and their story was, I grew up holding the flashlight for my dad so he could work. And they built this emotion around this story. And so on every call they went on, they would leave a flashlight because people were familiar with that story. So for us, we needed a story to tie our values with us that could be memorable, that our customers could remember, and have some kind of a symbol or something that was easy to remember. And so for you, I would love for you to think about, does anyone else have a similar story that you would be willing to share? For us, it took us a while to think about how to tie the two together to pull it into a brand. It took us a long time, but we knew we wanted that. Does anyone else have a similar story or something that you've pulled into your business and your branding? I would love that. Can we get you a microphone? There we go.
Perfect. So, Jose, for those who don't know me, we do swimming pool construction. So we work for pool builders. They sell, design them. We're the subcontractor that actually builds the pool. And then we deal directly with the consumer on remodeling swimming pools that obviously already exist. But ever since I was a baby, I grew up in a garage apartment, and my grandfather's house was right in front of that, so it's where my mom and dad raised me. But the business was always right next door. So before we can afford a forklift, my dad and grandpa would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, unload bags of cement. For those who don't know, they're 80 to 100 pounds every day, right? And that's become a tradition. And the one thing that we've always said is, like, you know what? We do our best to try to treat our employees and customers like their family, and do what's right by them. So we're not scared to live right next door and have over 100 employees at any given time. No one's coming to knock on my dad's door to be like, hey, why haven't you paid me? Or a customer, right? Because y'all know where to find us. And now me and my fiance built our home right in front of our 6-acre facility, and my father lives right next door. So when you put that on there, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have not done anything like that. I tell the story to multiple people that I meet, but I've never really thought of, like, oh my gosh, this is really that staple. So thank you for that. That is powerful.
You have a story.
Yes.
Which is awesome. And so now how do we tie this into your brand?
Oh, it's super easy. I think it's super simple. This is just like that one conductor that I needed to push me over the edge.
Good. I love it. And I hope you create a little 2-minute video like this that you can put on your website, on YouTube, that can drive people to your business so now they know you. And people like to do business with people they know, like, and trust.
The one thing you don't know is we're the largest pool construction company in the world on the internet. I have 1.4 million followers on TikTok, 184,000 on Instagram, 184,000 on Facebook, and I'm working on growing the YouTube right now.
Oh, my goodness.
So talk about putting
some ads. Can we give this guy a round of applause for that?
And I told Santi since the first day that I met him that I will change the world, right? And the people that I'm associated with obviously will be along for the ride, so I'm excited for this.
I'm excited to see this come to life for you also.
Thank you.
Oh, so cool, Jose. Thanks for sharing your story. Who else has a story? Yes. Who else has a story that kind of ties them to their business? Right here.
I grew up in central Saskatchewan. I'm a Canadian by birth, don't hold that against me, I'm an American by choice.
Woo!
Yeah.
I grew up in my dad's, we'd started repair work, first of all. We'd fixed anything that was broken. And then we got into building things. And one of the lessons I learned from my dad was, you never say never. If there's a challenge, you find a way through it. You always go through it. You will figure it out. And that's what he tried to bring to our business.
Ooh.
There's always a solution.
Always a solution. I love that. Have you brought that into your branding yet or into? You're working on it. I love that. I love that. This conference has been all about legacy, and listen to these cool legacy stories that we're hearing. Who else has got a story? You, right there.
As you were saying that, as I was watching the video, I was thinking about my story. And I grew up in a large family, number two of 10 kids. And my dad was a house framer back in high school and all through the 80s. And anyway, I was born in 90. And as a kid, my dad would bring home big old piles of lumber, you know, on his trailer. You know, and I was always stealing his tools and scavenging for nails and anything I could do. And our backyard was always a disaster because I had three brothers. We were always building junk. And our eyes was awesome, but it was junk. Anyways, my dad always, he always made a point to give me and my brother tools. And so I have pictures of when I was a little boy going around beating on all the floor. Everything was beat up because Lauren had a hammer. Okay? So as a teenager, and all I wanted to do was build stuff. And anyway, I go through my teenage years, and all I ever wanted to do as a child, as a teenager, was build decks. That was it. I just wanted to build a deck. I would draw decks. I dreamed in deck build. I mean, for you guys, it's weird, but for me, it's life. And so when I was 19 years old, I started my own deck business with beat up old pickup truck and my brother-in-law as cheap labor. And
I love it.
Here we are. Now I have a son who's three, and he's always getting into my stuff. So anyway, that could certainly be my story and tie it into Houston Deck and Shade.
It's the legacy. Okay, well, for you three for sharing, I've got red handkerchiefs for you all. What's a hammer? Your symbol would be a hammer, right? I love that. Very cool. 100-pound bag of cement is going to be your symbol. What this did for our business was it gave me clarity and focus and direction. Now I could build a brand that wasn't just about me and Ryan. It was a brand that was built on solid farm values, those values of hard work, honesty, trust, integrity, all of those things. And so once we started handing out the red handkerchiefs, we use that a lot in our branding. We focused on our team because of what that handkerchief symbolized for us. It gave us direction into how to lead our team. So we would go around. This middle picture down here, this cute little couple, these are a couple of our customers. We'd stop at their house, and they'd had their red handkerchiefs. They wanted to pose. They wanted to be on social media for us. So we would do that. We loved it. We added it into everything we did, and we continued to build a culture that focused on our team, on our community, on our customers, and it became so fun. In 2018, we invested in Service Titan. Now, this was a huge investment for us. At the time, we were about $3.5 million. We weren't super huge, but we were at a point where we're like, we want to grow. I need better clarity on my numbers. I need to understand where I'm going. And the software I was using at the time was not delivering that. I was paying someone full-time in my office just to calculate reports and numbers for me because I could not figure out how I was performing. If we don't have the data to analyze, how do we know what decisions to make for our business, right? So this was a big investment, but we appreciated it. And once we started having clear direct access to our numbers and our performance, we were able to make decisions faster, and we started to grow quite a bit faster. In 2020, we rebranded everything at Western. We added the red handkerchief as our main focal point. I took off the little Ryan and Angie caricatures that we'd made, even though they were really cute, and we still put them in our marketing once in a while. But we knew we wanted to build a brand that if it we were to sell it, it didn't have Ryan and Angie on it still, right? That was, we had to figure out, like, how can we sell this business? Of course I wanted to pass it on to my children if they wanted it. My children were still young. They weren't sure if they wanted to get in heating and air conditioning. The little boy you saw in that video, he's now my 19-year-old installer, installing furnaces for us. Does he love it? No. Is he making more money than all of his friends? Yes. Which is why he continues to work for me and do that. But he's not sure that this is what he would want to do. And so my husband Ryan was very wise, and he said, you know, we need a brand that stands out, that doesn't look old-fashioned, that is vibrant, that is as professional and respected as we are in our community. Our brand wasn't doing us justice. So I invested quite a bit in a local rebranding company in Utah, and they built us this beautiful, beautiful brand. And the thing I love it was, about it was the and the font and everything as we were going through this decision was it looked like a brand, like something permanent. And that was kind of what we wanted to put into our message as well. We're a company that's here to stay. We're permanent. We back up everything we do. If we branded your equipment, our name's on it. We own it. We take care of it. And so there was a lot of symbolism in that as well. So that was in 2020. Of course, that was the time of COVID also, and so I do have another picture of us all wearing masks right here in the same thing because this was kind of taboo at the time, but I wanted a real picture of everybody, so I'm like, everyone take off your masks, hurry, picture, okay, put them back on. At this time, Service Titan also reached out to me and said, Angie, we've got a lot of small businesses that are getting on Service Titan that are seeing some of the boom. They're feeling the boom, the effects of COVID, and these home service companies that were so worried about going out of business. Everybody's home now, and so people are investing in their home. And we have a lot of people joining Service Titan that don't know how to run a business. And they recruited me to go work for them to help them write best practices and help small contractors. And so in 2020, I joined Service Titan as a remote team member while still owning my business and quickly moved into the director of the training team at Service Titan, which was exciting. With my education background, I was like, this is awesome. I can go help trainers. We can give everybody a better onboarding experience because I did not love my training experience getting onto Service Titan. It was not easy. Everybody knows that getting a new software is hard, right? It is not fun. And so I thought that would be impactful, but what I didn't realize was I missed working with contractors. So 5 years later, I'm still at Service Titan. I'm still out teaching contractors. I'm helping contractors. I do events with them, teaching them not only how to use the software, but how to run successful businesses using my experience from this. So that was a really fun change for me. But as I wasn't as hands-on in the company, Ryan then had to take a lot of that on himself, which was difficult for him, but at the same time, he was so supportive of me, and he knew that HVAC was not always my dream, but the teaching was my dream, and helping and coaching was my dream. So he was super supportive in me taking this role, and it's been a huge blessing for our family. We scaled back our values to 4 main values, and we put them with our W Western Heating brand. The 4 values that we decided to focus on with our red handkerchief and with our team was family, integrity, excellence, and gratitude. I love what Steve just did with all of you as we talked about our values and the values you have for your company. Some of you shared those with us, and it was awesome to hear the values that you've already designed for your company. Does every single person have a list of values that you hang up in your office? You talk about them with your team. You bring them into your trainings. You celebrate these values. This is huge. I'm so glad to see so many heads nodding. This is part of the foundation of your business. This is how we hire. This is how we make our decisions for our company. Everything we do is backed by these values. Our mission, and the thing I want to, one more thing I want to say about values, your values can change over time, just like your company changes over time. Every year when we do our annual planning meeting, we review our values. We review the way we've defined our values. We know the importance of words. Does this still say what we want it to say and who we are? So it's a yearly thing that we review. So don't be afraid. If you don't feel in alignment with your values or if you feel like something needs to change, change it. This is that changing, growing business that you have. Same thing with your mission and your vision. What's the difference between a mission statement and a vision statement? Yes, mission is who you are, what you do, how you do it, and your vision is where you want to go. How much money are you going to make? How are you going to do it? How are you going to get there? And a vision statement should be shared internally with your entire team. They need to know the vision. I wouldn't put my vision on my website. That's for me and my team to know. That's where we're going. On the website should be your mission statement. People should know who you are, what you do, how you do it, how you show up. And our mission statement has changed a lot over the years. Our mission statement says, Western Heating and Air delivers the highest level of professional service by making your comfort our top priority. Our certified comfort experts deliver an exceptional experience with integrity and quality, backed by our red handkerchief promise. It's still kind of long. I think it needs a little tweaking, but I don't have that decision. I don't get to make that decision anymore. One thing our mission statement used to say, we will be feared and respected by our competition. I took it out. Why? What? It was a little aggressive. The feared made me feel like I was competing and I wanted them to be afraid of me because I was such a powerful, big, wise company, right? But what I learned is I don't need to create enemies in my space. I need to create allies. I have become very good friends with all of my competitors in my space, partly because I work for Service Titan now, and a lot of them all use Service Titan, and now they're my customer, and I need to be nice to them. But I also, we have so much to learn from each other, and if we can all elevate our industry together, we can all raise our pricing together, we can all raise our level of respect together, we all grow together and we all win. And our customers win because they get a higher level of professionalism regardless of who they choose. So for us, it was never about beating out the competition. Now it's beating ourselves and getting better than we were the year before. So that's why we changed our mission statement just a bit. In 2021, we sold Western Heating, Air, and Plumbing to a private equity group called the Friendly Group out of Dallas. Now, this was a difficult decision for me. This was a very difficult decision. At the time, of course, working for Service Titan, Ryan running Western Heating still, and we had this opportunity drop in our laps. We weren't really planning on selling the business anytime soon, but the multiples and the offer was something that we'd never seen anything like it before. And for me, it was like, oh, I feel like I'm selling my baby. This feels wrong, right? I'd worked so hard to build this brand that now felt complete with the story, the values, the branding, the service, the connection in the community. And I had to be very, very careful because the offers were coming in every day. Lots of companies, lots of private equity groups wanted to buy. For me, it became like a dating game. I had my checklist. I knew what I wanted. I had my non-negotiables in place. You could not change my brand because there were some private equity groups that would buy you and change your brand to what they wanted it to be. That was non-negotiable for me. I needed a group that would help me get better buying power so that when I was out buying services, furnaces, equipment, subscriptions to things, I could get the very, very best pricing. And that was something they had the power to negotiate way better than I could. I needed an opportunity to still have ownership of this group. So I wanted to be able to buy back into the group so I could still stay invested into it. And I, last of all, I needed somebody that was going to take care of my people because they were my people. I'd hired these people. I'd loved these people. I've taken care of their families for years. And if they were willing to help me take care of those people, those were the people for me. And this company, the Friendly Group, checked off all of those boxes for me. So while it was a very emotional experience, I knew Ryan would benefit so much from having the extra support of that extra leadership level of leadership. And it was a good decision for us. And we were able to sell our business for a very, very nice paycheck. We invested a little over $1 million back into the group, and we will probably be making another turn shortly in the next year or so, which, whatever that multiplier is, will come back to us. And we've been very, very blessed. Now, I did not go into business to make millions of dollars. I mean, I went into business to take care of my family and to take care of the families of the people that work for me and to serve my community. That was our goal. Have we done that over the years? Yes, we have. It's been very, very fulfilling. It's been very fulfilling to be part of that journey and to learn so much from it that now hopefully I can go out and help other contractors and other business owners do the same thing in their business using some of these proven principles. It is a husky dog. It is the power of the pack. And that is part of their branding. You know, the more the power of the pack, the more people pulling the sled, the easier it is. And so, yeah, it was a, no, it's a husky head. But, power of the pack. It's been really fun. So Ryan signed on to do 5 years of a non-compete, which will be up next year. Like I said, we'll probably turn and sell again. And then at that point, we can decide if we want to continue to reinvest in Western or if we want to go build a brand new brand, which is exciting too, right? That's the beauty of what we do. Do we want to do it again? Or maybe will one of my kids at some point be like, I think I'm ready to do this now. Let's help you do it. And we help them do it. So I'm really excited because even though it kind of feels like the end of a journey, let's start a new one. Let's start a new journey. So Western is still alive and thriving. We were able to partner with a local company. As being part of this private equity group, we've been able to tuck this company in, which is awesome. We added plumbing to what we did. This cute lady on the right, her name is Laura Sheneman. This is the Sheneman family. We partnered with them when we bought their company. Our team became a whole lot bigger because we were able to expand and grow, which is so fun. We now have 3 locations in our business. We put all of our call center up in our northernmost location in Utah, which is fun. That's my heart of the business where I love to focus on is customer service and marketing. Those were my 2 babies. We were very, very clear in our roles in our company, what my husband would be focusing on, what I would be focusing on. At first, I thought I was going to be doing all the math and the accounting and the numbers because I got my master's in math education. I hated it. I went back to, let me do the fun, creative stuff. So I still spend quite a bit of time up in our call center. I actually just did the DISC training with all of them, and they are loving it. As we're going through DISC training with all of our CSRs, I'm helping them learn how to communicate to each other better and to our customers better, which is really, really exciting. And Laura, the sweet lady, she took over our social media. And so while I'm not where you're at, not even close, on Facebook we have 11,000 followers. On Instagram we've got 68,000 followers. And on TikTok, we only have 18,000, not 1.4 million. But we're getting there. We're getting there. And she makes some really fun, great content, which has been really fun for our team and really fun for the upcoming generation. We've recruited a lot of people off of social media. This is where they are. They're on TikTok. They're on. And so if you do not have platforms in all of these different areas for your business. Not only will it help you with business, but it helps build your brand, build your voice, and recruit and bring people to your team. You guys are making a difference. We make a difference in our business just by doing what we do. But when we can use that business as a platform and take it to the next level, and we're doing it with these beautiful God-given values, we're doing things the right way. We're doing things the way we were raised, the way we were taught. Well, most of us are, depending on your upbringing. I don't want to assume anything, but you wouldn't be here or be aligned with Howard Partridge if you didn't have similar values. And that is really, when you can pull your values and be very, very clear about your values in your business, it's easy to grow a business. It's easy to answer the question. You already know how to answer the questions because of your values. That's why it's so important to get very, very clear on your mission, on your values. So thank you guys all for sharing. Round of applause for everybody. You guys are awesome. We're going to spend about the next 15, 20 minutes, and I'm just going to introduce you to this. I'm not going to go through the whole presentation. Hopefully one day Howard will invite me back and I can share more things with you. But I want to share with you something that made a big difference in my company, especially in my call center. I was the first CSR in my call center, whether I liked it or not. Didn't know a thing about HVAC, but my husband said, you just have to answer the phones and help me with paperwork. I said, perfect, I can answer phones and help you with paperwork. Why are we laughing, Heather? Does it sound familiar? Huh. But then you don't realize how much you grow to love the community, the business, your customers. And I started developing such great relationships with my customers. I was scared to hire another CSR because I was like, they can't talk to my customers the way I talk to my customers. I can't clone myself because I know I'm going to just roll out the red carpet and try to take care of all these customers. I knew how much money I was spending in marketing. I knew how much money I was spending for a phone call. And to have that phone call taken care of so carefully was so important to me. But if you're hiring CSRs and we're paying them the lowest amount of money at our company, what's the quality of CSR that we're going to get? So a lot of what I did in my business and a lot of my focus, besides the marketing and building the brand, was I focused very, very carefully on my customer service center, on my CSRs. And I trained them, and I built a way for them to, so that we could have a more consistent experience. And I like to call it my 7-star CSR program. It's a program that I use to train CSRs. I've trained hundreds of CSRs across the country in various trades using this 7-star CSR design. Have you ever had a bad experience with a contractor when you were the customer? We're all laughing. Yes, we have. We know they're out there. We know those bad contractors are out there. So when something goes wrong in our house, as a customer, we hate making the phone call because it's like, oh, are they going to haggle me? Are they actually going to answer the phone? Are they going to show up? What do I know? And so there's just so much going on in a customer's mind. I already showed you my van, like everyone else's, built on integrity and trust. Everyone says it, but are they really, right? David Horsager, has anyone ever heard of David Horsager before? He wrote a book called The Trust Edge. Great, great book. It's something that I built a lot of this training around, which we're not going to be able to get to the whole training today. But he said, trust is a confident belief in a person, a product, or an organization. And when I started being the face of Western Heating and Air and going out to my local networking groups and B&I groups and Chamber of Commerce groups, you know, people would say, well, what makes you different? Or I'd have to have my elevator pitch, the 30-second, and, you know, I wanted to let them know we're a company that does it right. We stand behind what we say. Before I had the red handkerchief promise, all I could say was, I promise we're going to do a good job. We're going to do it the right way. Until I had something like that to back that up. But when you think about, well, what do customers really want? They want to be confident in you, your team, your services, your product. They want to be confident. If they can trust that you will deliver what you say you're going to deliver, they will trust you, right? So When I asked this, and if we had more time, I would have everybody say, what do your customers want? We'd all brainstorm together. We'd write this on a big board together. They want a lot of things, right? Transparency, communication. They want you to be responsive. They want the job done right. They want it to be personalized. All of these things. They want to do business with someone they can trust. And that is really how I built my 7-star CSR process. In fact, there was a survey not too long ago that asked customers from all types of industries and trades, what are the top things that your customers want? This is what customers said. These are the top 6 things that they want. Empathetic service was number 1. They want to know you actually care about them. AI is trying really hard to add empathy into voice agents, things like that, which sometimes it's more efficient, but the empathy's fake, right? I'm sorry to hear. That must be very frustrating. Yes, it is very frustrating. Thank you, robot, for acknowledging my frustration, right? They want personalized service. They want to know that they're not just a number to you. They're an actual customer and a person and someone that you're going to take personal care of them. They want it to be quick, flexible policies, proactive reach out. Our customers want us to reach out to them. Sometimes we get scared of outbound calling or sending texts. No, I love it when my company, lawn company, says, hey, it's time to get your lawn serviced. Oh, good. Yes, please do it. I have so many other things going on. I totally forgot. Thank you for reminding me. Customers want proactive outreach. And omnichannel support is the last one. Your customers want to be able to reach out to you the way they like to communicate. Not everybody likes to pick up a phone anymore. Some people would rather just text or schedule online or send you a message on social media or who knows. You have to be available where your customers want to talk to you. If you say, I only have a phone number, you're cutting out a whole chunk of customers who will never reach out to you by phone. Yes, sir?
I want to talk to you face to face. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go home. Santi's going to close it out. He's got a couple things to tell you guys before you leave, but I just want to say
thank you. It's been an honor. Thank you for letting me be with you and your community. You're great.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Howard. So blessed. So blessed, aren't we? Very, very blessed.
Is the date of the next conference? Not yet, he
hasn't.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. That's how he gets you to not leave early, right? He makes you stay to the very end. So when I was trying to figure out how do I stand out, how do I deliver the best customer experience, I came across a video. This is just a little clip from it. Let me see if I can. I don't know if I want to do the. We're going to skip this video because you know why? Because I'm just going to tell you the story really fast. It's a video of the owner of Airbnb founder Brian Chesky. Anybody familiar with Brian Chesky from Airbnb? He's a co-founder. He does everything at Airbnb with a 7-star design. He's implemented this whole 7-star design process with his team. He says, let's take, for example, airport pickup or, you know, what it would look like to check in. As a 5-star experience, you arrive to the home, everything is nice in place, you're able to get in, everything's just as it says, you might leave a 5-star review, right? People only leave 4-star reviews if something is not great. And they look for ways to not, you know, if something isn't out of hand or they can't get a hold of the homeowner or something was dirty, you might get a 4-3-star review. Well, as business owners, our goal is always to provide a 5-star service so we can get those 5-star reviews. But he said he wanted to go above and beyond that. If our customers could leave a 6-bonus-star, what would that experience look like? Well, maybe when you get to the home, someone is there to greet you and walk you through the home and show you where everything is. And maybe that would be a 6-star experience. Well, what would a 7-star experience look like? Well, maybe a 7-star experience is you actually have someone pick you up at the airport and it has some of your favorite snacks in the car, like some Pringles. And they know you like surfing, so it has a surfing magazine and now you have a ride to the Airbnb. Now you would give them a 7-star. Well, at an 8-star, and he goes on and he plays this out, and he does this with his team with everything that they design in their services and products. And so I thought about that. How could I implement a 7-star design with my team and my customers? So it starts with, well, what do they expect? We've got to be able to meet their basic expectations, right? What do they expect? And this would be a good exercise to do with your team. So if you take a screenshot of this, go back to your team, say, what do our clients expect? And if we have a microphone, Santi, I would love to hear somebody maybe share. What do your clients expect from you? Okay, we got honesty here. What else do they expect? On-time delivery. Accountability. Stand behind what we do. And a guarantee, maybe? Personalized. Good. And then I would maybe ask my team, okay, what are our customers getting? Are they actually getting that from us? Because if they're not, we need to start there. We need to at least give them what they expect. That's going to be a 5-star experience. How do they get that? Let's design that. But then let's think about, well, what would a 6-star experience look like? How can we go to the next level? What would a 7-star experience look like? And so when I designed my 7-star CSR program, that was what I had in mind. How do we become a company that people love to work with because we're providing better than a 5-star experience for them? You know what companies these are. Name a company that you think that someone, and it can be any personal experience, someone you've done business with in the last while or at a point in your life that you felt like you got a 7-star experience, better than 5-star. Why Ritz-Carlton? Would you give them a 10-star if you could, right? That's so amazing. I love their tagline, we are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. It talks about their identity and the identity of their customers. They know who they are, and they know who their customers are and how their customers deserve to be treated. I love that one. Thank you for sharing that one. Who's got another company I can think of? Oh, yeah, Chick-fil-A. I knew that one was coming. My pleasure. My pleasure.
They ask you your name.
They ask you your name. They know the name of every single customer that comes to their place. They call your name, not a number. Mm-hmm.
Plus they have Chick-fil-A sauce.
Chick-fil-A sauce, which you can buy at Costco now. Did you know that? Yes. Because they sell Chick-fil-A sauce. No, Chick-fil-A, I was listening to a podcast from their VP of advertising and marketing, and he said, you know, we're not really a chicken company. We're a leadership company. We're building leaders. Their mission is to build leaders, and we just happen to do that by selling chicken. We are giving these young kids the skills, the communication, the mindset, the training that they need to go and be successful in any career that they choose. He's like, our goal is never to make these lifelong careers for these Chick-fil-A workers unless they'd like to actually go on to be franchise owners, but our job is to build the future leaders, and we just happen to be doing that by selling chicken. Isn't that amazing? Something to stand behind. And then Costco, I put Costco up here as well. Costco will accept any return of anything at any time for any reason.
Except for their TVs.
Except for their TVs?
My mother-in-law used to work there.
So. Okay. Now you know. I did not know that. Expired protein bars. Good to know. I had one of my dispatchers, she was actually my office manager for a while, she took back her trampoline that got ruined in a windstorm, like from her backyard. And they took it back and replaced it. That's amazing. These are the kind of companies people want to do business with. The companies that go above and beyond and do amazing things like that. I had an experience where my oldest daughter was in braces. And my dentist was actually doing her braces. And then one day we were there and he's like, hey, I hate to tell you this, but I'm actually moving to Florida. So I can't finish your daughter's brace care, but don't worry. I have a friend. He's a great orthodontist. I'm referring all of my clients over to him. And immediately I'm like, okay. Like, well, I have some expectations, right? And this orthodontist better meet these expectations. He needs to have experience. Number one, listen and answer all of my questions. Make sure I feel safe letting him work on my child. Make sure that I trust them to do the right job, like they have the same values and ethics as I do. I want to make sure the place is clean so she's not going to get any weird diseases or anything. And make sure his staff is friendly. And maybe this comes from some PTSD from an earlier dentist experience. I don't know, but I just have my basic expectations. Is this too much to ask? No, right? Well, I was pleasantly surprised as I went into this orthodontist office. When we got there, my daughter's name was on a sign. Welcome to all of our new patients. Her name was there. As immediately when she walked in, it was personalized. Look, Mom, they knew I was coming today. We go in the waiting room and they have iPads for all of the kids. So all these kids are just playing games on iPads. It's like such a fun environment there. The colors are bright and friendly. They give every new patient a t-shirt. Hey, here's your t-shirt. Welcome, welcome. And then if you wear this when you come, we'll give you points for prizes. So now their kids are wearing their t-shirts all over town. Brilliant. Brilliant. And then, if that's not enough, before you leave, they have one of their offices they turned into an ice cream shop. Before you leave, everybody that came with your family gets a scoop of ice cream as you head out the door. They're orthodontists, not dentists. They don't care about the cavities, right? It's like, here you go. Here you go. Head on out. So this the bottom picture on the bottom right, when she got her braces off, they have this whole congratulations. They have balloons up. Here's a whole wall of candy. Get all the candy you want. Fill this up. Take it home with you. You haven't been able to eat it for a couple years. Eat your heart out. Just so you know, my oldest daughter's not even on here. When my three younger kids saw what my oldest daughter was getting when she came, all three of my kids need braces too, right? We need braces too, Mom. Which they did, but I knew exactly where I was taking them, right? And they were excited to go there. We'd seen the experience. In fact, this youngest one of mine, and of course this is 18 because that was 2018 when we were there, but we happened to go on Mother's Day weekend, and as she comes out after her checkup, she had some carnations for me with a Mother's Day note from the dentist that said, put your feet up, go rest and relax, happy Mother's Day. Who does that? You're an orthodontist. All I expected was, like, have a clean facility, have some experience and good values. This went above and beyond my expectations. And I love to share this example of this company because this is that seven-star design mentality. They thought, okay, we're an orthodontist shop, but what do we do to provide an experience that goes above and beyond just getting straight teeth? And they did that in their facility. So I love to I took this back to my team and I asked my team, how can we do this? How can we go above and beyond? So now my technicians, when they are at a home, they always look for something extra to do while they're at the home. Can I change batteries in any of your remotes or anything while I'm here? Do you need any light bulbs changed? Can I take your garbage out? Can I bring the newspaper in? They're looking for things to do. I had one technician on a job once. He was there with his partner. They were installing a system and they needed a part and they didn't have time to wait for someone to bring it. So one technician left and the other stayed and said, hey, do you have a lawnmower? I'll mow your lawn for you. He mowed the lawn while the other technician went to go get the part. This is how you go above and beyond. Do you think your customers are going to remember little things like that? And then what do they do? And then what does that do to your marketing budget? Yes. That was my goal. How can I build my business on the smallest marketing budget by just providing great experience? That was Brian Chesky's goal too. He wanted to scale his business, and he said, I knew if I could make one person extremely happy and they told 100 people, if I could make those 100 people extremely happy and each of them told 100 people, what does that do for your business? That is my goal with 7-Star CSR. When I'm training 7-Stars, my CSRs, these are the 7 steps that I take them through. It is not a script. It is not, here, these are the things you have to say. It is, here are the 7 strategies that I'm going to teach you while you're on the phone. We do the same thing with our technicians. If I had more time, I would take you through this 7-step process, but hopefully I get to come back. Or if you'd like more information, please reach out to me. I can walk you and your team through this. But essentially, number 1 is prepare. It's a lot of what I talked to you about yesterday. I teach them about mindset. I teach them about taking care of their body. Is your mind, your space, your materials, is everything prepared so you're ready to go? There should be no excuses when you get on the phone. You need to be ready before you pick up the phone. Same with our technicians. Before you go knock on the door, have you looked through the notes? Do you have everything ready for the job? Have you cleared your mind? Like, have you done all the preparation that you need to do before you go and talk to that customer? Number 2, you build that relationship of trust. You do this with your voice. You do this by making connections, finding something to relate to. You do this by using their name. I've got a whole other presentation prepared that I can go through on Brian or David Horsager's Trust Edge, building that relationship of trust. I would encourage you to look up that book. It's awesome. Number 3 is gather information. We don't jump into situations and just assume we know what's wrong. This is where we have to ask questions. We become detectives. We find out what's going on with your system. My goodness, how long has that been happening? Have you had anyone else look at it? What have you tried so far? What's the age of your home? When was the last time you changed a filter? We are gathering as much information as we can, because when we ask questions, it shows that we care, it shows that we're competent, and it also shows that we're in control of the call, especially as CSR. So I help them identify which questions. If the customer ever takes over, well, I just want to know a price, I'd be happy to get you a price. Can you tell me a little bit more about what's going on? The CSR gets back in control of the call, because whoever's asking questions is in control. So I guide them back and help them get back in control. Absolutely, I can get you a price. I just need to find out a little bit more about what's going on so I can give you the correct pricing. The correct pricing is always the price of the service call. They don't need to know that. I'm asking questions. I'm building a relationship with them. I'm gathering information. I teach them the power of positive language, a lot of what I talked about yesterday. I teach them how important their words are, and if they're not careful, they're actually talking customers out of doing work. So we go deep into words and which words you should use on the phone, which words you should never use on the phone, how to have those conversations. We talk about adding value. Add sugar is what I like to call it, building value on the phone. So by the time they're done talking to you, you've told them already so much about your company, your product, your team without, you're just sprinkling it in though. You're not dumping everything. Well, you know, we've been in business for 30 years and we have 5-star reviews and you're saying all the value statements. We just sprinkle it in throughout the phone call. Offering solutions, how to handle objections, how to keep it positive, and then nurturing that client relationship. So I've come up with 7 steps that have helped my CSRs become world-class CSRs. And their booking rates have gone extremely up, which means I don't have to spend as much money on marketing. And then if my team is providing a 7-star experience, the jobs, the reputation, the reviews continue to come in. And that's been a big part of how we grew Western and how we became the company that we are today. So, I want to thank you guys for being with me this afternoon. It's been so fun to get to hear some of your stories. I'm excited to hear you continue to develop your stories and excited to see where you go in your journey of business. So thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. Thank you.